I will not leave you desolate.
Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, and in that day you will know I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Judas is not Iscariot said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? Jesus answered, if someone loves me, they will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll come in and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, but the word that you hear is not mine. It's the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but soon the Counselor will come, the very Spirit of truth, and he will tell you all things and bring to your remembrance everything that I have said. The Gospel of John is distinguished from the other passion accounts by the fact that its account of the crucifixion of Jesus is balanced by the assurance of the resurrection of Jesus. Every moment of stress and calamity in Jesus' final week is balanced by a sense that God's resurrection power is always just around the horizon. I think that difference in emphasis between John and the other Gospels is because John addresses a different historical situation. The people who first read John's Gospel felt disoriented, almost abandoned. By now, they had broken from the Jewish synagogue, they had broken from the temple, they were a distinct religion, and so the relations between the Jews and even the Jewish Christians were one of estrangement. And the Jewish authorities were persecuting the Christians. But also by now, Christianity was now considered a distinct religion, distinct from Judaism. And as such, it had lost its legal status. Rome would allow any religion that was extant when it conquered a land to be legal. But no new religions could be created. Christianity was now a new religion, which meant they were ripe for persecution from the empire. The Christians assailed on both sides felt abandoned and disoriented, and they needed the promises uttered by Jesus as expressed in John. The odd thing about John's account of Jesus' discourses in this final week is the fact that Jesus' words about his leaving are constantly balanced by his words about the Holy Spirit coming. Yes, you're losing me, but yes, you're gaining the Comforter, the Counselor. And John hammers this theme throughout Holy Week like the tolling of a bell. When I go to the Father, I will ask him to send to you a counselor. When I leave, the counselor will come to you and he will tell you all things and bring to your mind the remembrance of all that I've said. It is good for you that I go, because when I go, the counselor will come. If I do not go, the counselor will not come. And when he comes, he will bear witness to my truth. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. But when the Counselor comes, he will tell you all things. That theme comes from every nook and cranny of John's account of Jesus' last week. Truth is, we're not exactly comforted by those words, because we don't really have a very keen sense of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. Many of us equate being filled with the Spirit with some kind of ecstatic possession, some kind of babbling nonsense, some kind of Pentecostal fervor. But that's like equating the earth's crust with volcanoes. Sure, there are moments when the earth's crust opens up and allows the lava to flow out, but most of the time the earth's crust is stable and supportive. That's the Spirit. There are times when it erupts and captures someone's life in an ecstatic way, but most of the time the Spirit is stable and supportive. The Spirit is meant to be the communicator of God's presence on a daily basis. The word of counsel, the energy of love, the pattern of instruction, the comfort of assurance, a quiet, stable support that sustains you in every moment and communicates to you the very presence and counsel of God. It's not to be equated with the moments of volcanic, ecstatic possession. That happens occasionally. But mostly it's just the quiet direction of the voice of God. Jesus says to his disciples, I know you're grieving at the loss of intimacy with my relationship with you, but that's going to be balanced by the intimacy of God's presence as you appropriate the Spirit. We tend to sometimes equate the Spirit of God with our conscience. And there are times when that's true. And yet our conscience is not divine. Our conscience is made up of forces good and bad. Our conscience can be shaped by authority figures who have warped values themselves. Let your conscience be your guide is not always good theology. Your conscience is not the Spirit of God. Sometimes they are together. But the Spirit of God is a transcendent voice. It comes from beyond us. It's a voice that can only be heard as we discipline ourselves very intentionally to hear that voice and appropriate it. We have to quiet sometimes even our own conscience in order to hear the direction of God's holy voice through the Spirit. John uses the word paraclete. Paraclete, to describe the Spirit. Paraclete means one who stands by your side. The Spirit of God is the one who stands by your side, who takes your role, who stands as your advocate. I hesitate to use this word, but really what the only modern equivalent that I can say for what the paraclete is, the Holy Spirit is your lawyer. The one who speaks for you, who takes your case, who guides you when you are silent, who is your advocate, who stands by your side in time of need. You often hear in the court, counselor, meaning lawyer. Well, that's the very form that the paraclete takes. The paraclete states your case for you, stands by your side. And Jesus is saying to his friends, I know you're agonizing over what's about to happen to me. I know it will devastate you. But understand, as I go, the comforter, the counselor, the presence of God who stands by your side will be there for you. This scene, this entire week is filled with irony. Because Jesus is trying to say to his disciples, where I am going, you can't go. But as you heard read in the scripture, you will go there later. What Jesus is saying to his disciples in this week is, you aren't mature enough to face martyrdom. You aren't advanced enough to be tested in your faith in that manner. But one day you will be. So even as he's saying to them, don't ache too much for me as I am betrayed and interrogated and beaten and tortured and killed, know that the comforter is not just for this week, but the comforter is for you when you find yourself in very similar situations. The paraclete will be with you when you find yourself thrown into the jail cell or tied to the whipping post or standing before the jeering crowd or facing sinister judges. In those moments when you feel most vulnerable, when you feel most exposed, the paraclete will be with you. I will not leave you desolate. That's a promise not just spoken to the disciples of old, but spoken also unto us. To us in our frustration, in our grief, in our sense of loss, in our pain, in our vulnerability, in our sense of exposure, inadequacy. You're not alone. Jesus challenges every one of us, take up your cross and follow. But here's the thing. Everyone's cross is different. Everyone's cross is different. And your particular cross defines your particular faith. And wherever it leads, you do not bear that cross alone. The paraclete stands by your side. Whatever our situation in life, Christ is with us, not bodily, but present spiritually in the form of the paraclete, who is our very advocate before God. That's the promise God intends for us to appropriate every day of our lives.